Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, what a treat.
Treat.
In studio, we have Greg Gurley, who startled Nate Bucati a few minutes ago when he walked in.
He did.
I startled his little britches off. Yeah. He was scared.
Why were you so scared, Nate?
Well, because, I'm not used to having such a handsome person just lean in and say something right over my ear when I'm,
right.
You know,
what'd you say
sitting here on the show.
Did he say handsome?
Yeah, what did he say to you?
Weird.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. I just kind of, what was my presence?
Yeah, I invaded his, like, whoa!
I invaded his personal space.
Hey there, big fella. Hmm.
Well, are you happy to see him at least?
Of course. Always happy to see Greg Gurley, especially with the full beard going now.
Mountain man.
Yeah.
What do you think? I know you like it.
Yeah, we're
you and
similar.
I have similar salt and pepper. You're more salt, but I'm getting there.
No,
I'm getting there. Are you gonna go another like the long one?
I had the Duck Dynasty or whatever. It was out, but then I. Do you ever watch that show on Showtime, Your Honor, with Bryan Cranston?
Oh yeah, I like that.
And so the new season's out.
Yeah, how
they
is
showed
it?
Them. I've only watched.
I don't like it when they just do the week to week. It pisses me off.
Yeah, I know. I want to binge.
Yeah.
But he was in jail, and he looked like, you know, he was. I said, oh, that doesn't look good. And I looked in the mirror. I look like I could be in a jail.
But have you ever really concerned yourself with how you look?
No, not too much. But I brought it in a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, it is.
I mean, like overall.
No, not really. I hope not. Hey, so we've got lots to talk about. You're going to Lexington. When do you go to Lexington?
Friday afternoon. Staying at that. You know, we always talk about it. It's kind of a weird setup. If you've never been to Rupp, Rupp is right there. That in the middle of it, there's a shopping mall, basically, and then there's a hotel attached to it. So you stay in the hotel. You kind of walk across this weird kind of outlet mall that's got like a Cinnabons and a Ma and Pa antique store. It's a weird setup, and then you go to Rupp. So it's kind of nice. It's all right there, self-contained, and nice little hotel bar down low, and...
Wow, Greg knows where the hotel bar is.
Well, you walk by it off the elevator. You kind of walk past
it.
Right. And you wave at people that are in there and then stop and say hi.
So,
have a water.
And this is the last Big 12 SEC challenge. Be honest, do you care?
I kind of do. Do I care it's the last one? Only because there's not going to be any more. I care. I mean, I look forward to this every year.
So you like it?
I like it. No, I like
Nate
the fact.
Like it.
Really?
No.
I like that it's in the middle of the Big 12 season. I like that it's just something different. I like everything that Nate hates about it.
Yeah, basically, it's
that he just
every reason why he doesn't like it.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Why I like this. This is good. Come on now.
No, I wish it was still around. Now we'll find out how we compensate for it not being here. Like, will we get an? I just want another big time game. I don't know who that is. It probably won't be Kentucky. So. Maybe it could be Gonzaga or North Carolina or somebody like that, because we play Duke every 3 years. We used to play Kentucky. We always play Kentucky every 3 years, but could we get them on a home and away for a 2-year deal?
Gonzaga would be the best.
I think would be cool, and they don't appear to be scared of anyone. They'll play whatever in November and December. So if everything aligns, then I think that would be a good one. Now that Roy Williams is gone at North Carolina, maybe a North Carolina, because I don't think they never would have scheduled that on a home and away, but now they might. These are all just maybes, but got my fingers crossed for somebody good, because we don't need to play the, you know, Northern Colorado or whoever on November 19th. So I would imagine the Big 12 schedule goes back to, you know, December 31st throughout, a game every weekend, and not this January 28th. So I would imagine it'd be a game on the front end of our schedule.
Now take a dump on everything you said. Nate, go ahead.
I like that better. I like the idea of the Big 12 SEC challenging, and you know, the Jayhawks playing against somebody good. They always get somebody good. Like, they're never going to give them like one of the bottom teams in the SEC.
And I agree with you know, Kansas, Kentucky's great, but some of the other matchups don't exactly, you know, elicit excitement.
The tough part for me is, I guess, and I don't
Tennessee,
know if this
Texas is good.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Mizzou, Iowa State is good. There's a couple of good, yeah, but then there's some.
And then you get down on the bottom and you're like, okay, well. Right.
The tough part I have is what you were saying, that you like the fact that it comes in the middle of the Big 12 schedule. And right or wrong, the way that to me, like, college basketball programs me is, okay, you got your non-con, and it's kind of interesting, and you get to kind of see where your team are. You look forward to, oh, Kansas is going to play Duke, okay. But there's
where
no.
Where your team are?
There's where your team is.
Okay.
The Jayhawks are.
Where is we? Hey, Coach, where is we right now? Well, Bill, well, Greg. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting. That's twice now. Sorry.
It says, well, Greg.
That's not proper.
But I don't. The thing about non-com basketball is that the consequences are not very great, especially if you're a team like Kansas, arrogant Kansas fan here, but there you pretty much know you're going to the tournament, and you're probably going to have a good seed.
But that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Because not that it doesn't matter on Saturday, because it really does, but it's
does it?
Is it really going to affect our seed line? I mean,
right.
Maybe.
KU got
bit.
Thumped by Kentucky at home last year, and they won the national championship.
True.
Right?
But that was, I think that was good in the middle of the Big 12 season to kind of have your eyes open. I mean, it was a good old-fashioned butt whoop. I mean, it was never really a game, and they just made shot. They just out, you know, kind of what TCU did to us last Saturday. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, kind of wakes you up. Now, we lose at home last Saturday to TCU, thought we were going to go to Baylor, and I think we had a much better effort, and we had a much better game. It just, we played against a team that was good, that made shots, and we didn't make timely shots like they did. So again, we're both right. It's not like, I mean, it's just more of a personal opinion, but I do kind of like it.
It's just hard for me to get, like, this Big 12 race is going to be insane, right? There's three teams tied for first place at 6-2, and then there's three teams tied for second place at 5-3, and you asked me earlier who the best team in the Big 12 is. I have no idea. I think it's going to be
never answered.
It's going to be crazy.
I don't know if there is an answer right now.
Oh, there's
an
answer.
So to me, like, okay, well, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of all that, here's this game that kind of matters.
So if you're a team that needs a quality win for your resume, I mean, that's not Kansas, but it's a bigger deal.
But
say, like, Auburn, West Virginia, that could be good, but I don't care. Alabama at Oklahoma, that should be a mismatch. I don't care. Texas Tech, LSU, I don't care. TCU, Mississippi State, I don't care. Then the good matchups, oh, God, Ole Miss and Oklahoma State. Kansas, Kentucky, great matchup. Florida,
Isn't that
Kansas
usually
State.
Like the Cotton Bowl or something.
Yeah, the Ole Miss.
It's always like they seem to play each other in a bowl.
I'd watch
game
the football game. Yeah. Kansas, Kentucky's really good. Florida, K State could be good.
Yeah. And there's a very interesting storyline there with Keontae Johnson,
course.
Right?
So, Texas, Tennessee is outstanding. I think Arkansas and Baylor could be a lot of fun. And then Iowa State, Mizzou is going to be really good. But then the other
Texas,
ones are like,
Tennessee
oh.
is, yeah, that's got all We're, kinds of
That's
story
in
lines.
Knoxville,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
That's
yep.
a great game. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're great.
There's a few
great games.
It's like split. There's like half of them are good, half of them are terrible.
Yeah, so we'll see, you know, this offseason where the scheduling lands. But it's a game in front of us. You go play it. It's the two all-time winningest programs in the history of college basketball, even though one's on a three-game winning streak, one's on a three-game losing streak. They're on a four-game, I think, winning streak. I got to check. But that it's got everything you want, and it's going to be fun. And whether you like it or not, when they roll the ball out, you're going to be like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so last night was an important game between K-State and Iowa State. Yeah. And you know, look, K-State could have taken control of the league with a win last night, but Iowa State wins, and so now they all kind of fall back together. Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. You've got 6-2, 6-2, 6-2 with K-State, Texas, and Iowa State, and then TCU, Kansas, and Baylor are tied at 5-3. What did you think of Iowa State's win over K-State?
Well, they had to have it after dropping one earlier. I watched the majority of that game, and, you know, we just coming off where we played K-State in Manhattan, and Marquise Noel didn't play very well. I mean, DeJuan took him out of the game, and last night he was fantastic. Man, was he good. Keontae Johnson was good, but it was the Noel show, along with Cam Carter, who kind of came out of nowhere and really played well. But, you know, Iowa State made big shots. They had to defend their home court. We talk about that, you know, equation of how you do things. What's the answer? How do you win a league title? Well, you defend your home court. And Kansas dropped one. Now they got to go on the road and get one they're not supposed to get. Kansas State needed that one last night to really propel them to pick one up on another team that's in the lead. So they didn't do it, but, man, were they good. They fought till the end and made big shots, but Iowa State just made a couple more. So it's going to be that way every night. It really is, and we keep saying that week in and week out. Like, there's no bottom feeders. There's no times that we used to look at the schedule and it's like, all right, we're going to go to West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State, and TCU, and all four of those are sweeps. We're not going to lose down there, and hell no are they going to beat us down Fieldhouse. But that's not the case anymore. And so 13-5, I think, will for sure have a share of the lead. And if you're 14-4, you win it outright. So right now, with most of the teams at the top with two losses with more than half the season to go, it's going to be a gauntlet. That's no other way to put it. And K-State's for real. I know that the last couple weeks we were kind of waiting until they really started playing somebody, which that's unfair because they have played people. But, you know, this is when you get in the dog days of the Big 12, and they've taken care of business. You know, they beat Kansas at home, and they had every opportunity to win last night. They are for real, and that sounds like a dumb statement because they're number 5 in the country, but they're for real.
Marquise Noel, I was realizing last night, he reminds me a little bit of Frank Mason.
A little bit. I think Noel's more of a you know, beat you off the bounce on a pull-up three. Frank was more of a beat you off the bounce and get to the rim, get to the free throw line. There's probably a little bit of that because they're similar body types. I think Frank was bigger as far as height.
Yeah, but he's a couple inches taller.
But I could see that a little bit. But, man, when he gets a big guy on him and he can do the little stutter step, you know, step back three, he was killing him last night. So he's for real. You got to, you know, the key to success is when your best player doesn't have a great game. And Keontae Johnson's their best player. I don't know if he had 10 or 12 last night.
15 points, 10 rebounds.
Okay, end up with 15. So it's still very good, double-double, but he wasn't on like he usually is, and it took another guy, and that's Noel. And then it takes that third guy, which was Cam Carter. And for Kansas, as they're stuck in a bit of a drought, obviously on the win column, it's been Jalen Wilson. And then it was nobody until Baylor game when it was Grady Dick as well. And that's why we were within 6 points and we had every chance to win it. But before that, there was nobody else. You had no bench. Your secondary scorer was Grady Dick and he wasn't hitting. So you got to have that second and third option. And that's where K-State, I think, has excelled.
Well, and they got a huge performance from Desi Sills off the bench against Kansas. Ish Massoud goes for 13 last night, and it seems like Kansas, that's another thing. Kansas last year, once Remy Martin became like this like, you know, sixth man off the bench that could give instant offense, I wonder if that's an issue too for them right now. Is there somebody off the bench that can come score for them when they need it? You know?
That was kind of Joe Yesufu, but it hadn't been consistent. He's kind of like the microwave. He'll come in and he's in the game for 10 seconds and make it three. But as you move down the line and the teams notice Joe, they don't let him get that shot off. So you got to be able to create. Massoud was great last night when he made shots every time they need it because They're having to double team Noel or Cam Carter or pay attention to Johnson. That leaves guys open. And for Kansas, Kevin McCullough's kind of been the guy that's been left open, and he just has not shot the ball well. Granted, he was 5 of 6 versus TCU. Those were all layups. He needs to start hitting the three to space the floor more, because Jalen Wilson is scoring 30-plus when everyone's keying on him. But at some point, that's going to stop. They're going to double-team him and not allow Jalen Wilson to get 30. So it's going to have to be the Kevin McCullers and the DeJuan Harrises and the KJ Adams.
Who's the best player that KU's faced this year?
Oh, boy. The best player that KU has faced this year. Huh.
Maybe narrow it down just to the conference, you think?
Oh, to the conference? I think Keontae Johnson is right there. I know that it could be Noel, but he didn't play that great against us. Mike Miles, I really like. Man, you kind of threw. I thought we scripted this whole segment.
It's unscripted.
Oh.
He's on the script. I'm not. I'm a wild card.
You never know where Steven's.
What do you think, Nate? You're letting Greg feel all the heat?
We've had times where, like, Bryce Thompson had a good game against us. And, you know, TCU, everybody had a good game against us. Tennessee, everybody had a good game against us. The other night, it was probably Cryer who had the amazing first half. But, I mean, it's depth more than anything. I don't think any one player has just stood out to me. He's speechless.
Right.
I might go with Mike Miles. I mean, TCU, and maybe I'm just colored by the fact that they thrashed Kansas, but they thrashed K-State too, you know, down in Fort Worth. That whole TCU team is, I mean, they got some athletes and they play fast.
Well, that was the thing
he's a leader. I don't know. Maybe
that was the thing after last Saturday that was so alarming, because it's typically Kansas who's got the more athletic, deeper team, and it was not the case last Saturday or really all year. And, you know, Bill talked about that in his post-game comments. He's like, hey, from 1 to 5 or really 1 to 8, they just have guys. And nothing against our guys, but it's just different. They've got more athletes. And now, as we dig into this a little bit more, we're also talking about a team that lost 4 professional basketball players. You know, David McCormick, Ochai, Christian, and then you throw Remy in there, and you know, Mitch Lightfoot. But you throw guys in there, and they're not here. And we're the number 2 team in the country as of last week. And let's be honest, that was a little bit of fool's gold. We won some games we probably shouldn't have won. You're down by 10 to Oklahoma with 5 minutes to go in the game, and you come back and win. A lot of these games we've won, we've been down a lot. So we've won a lot of one-possession games. Now we've lost some close games. And coaches get way too much credit, way too much criticism. I get it. This team, it's Kansas math. We say this every year. We're shocked that we're on a 3-game losing streak. Never had a 4-game losing streak in 19 years plus with Bill Self. So, hey, welcome to college basketball. You know, when we lost to K-State the other night, I'm talking to my friends, and I'm like, they were just shocked that we lost. And we're like, hey, this is what every team goes through throughout the year. We're just not used to it. We're spoiled. We're snotty fans, as we should be.
You're describing Nate almost to a T.
Snotty.
And you looked over when you said snotty fans, and you looked over at Nate. And Nate just kind of put his head down.
And snotty, and I don't mean it as a, you know, Nate. We take it for granted. Snotty.
You accused me of trying to paint a narrative to put people in a bad position last week, because I asked several guys, is Kansas a lucky team? Have they been lucky? Because Ken Palm had listed at that time Kansas, he's got that luck factor, and Kansas had been the luckiest team in the Big 12 when they were undefeated and winning those close games. And the reason I asked is because if that's the case, the other shoe drops at some point and you lose some of those close games. And that's kind of what happened. Like, they won some close games and they lost some close games.
I just don't like the word luck. I mean, I think there are some things, the ball bounces your way every once in a while, but over the course of 20 years, it's not luck. It's preparation. It's mentality. It's all that.
I feel like when you win so many close games, it's the coach.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, 100%.
Now, right. Yeah. Hard work and repetition creates luck.
But it's to me, the thing about luck is I don't believe in luck long term. It evens out over time. You know, like you said, if you go by the 20 game or a 20 year sample size of Bill Self winning close games, he hadn't been lucky for 20 years.
Right.
But if it's like we're talking about, did they catch some breaks during?
Sure.
You just said like that was a little fool's gold. It's the same type of thing. Like, okay, well it's going to even out here because they're not that much better than all these other teams in the Big 12.
That would have been a great image, just Nate sitting on a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. Fool's gold with a little hat.
Yeah.
Just, hey, look at that. We would do a meme or whatever.
Because they could have easily won the K-State game if Bill Self, you know, and it's not his fault. It was unlucky that he called the timeout right when Jalen Wilson hits the three. It does, and that's
like the other night
out
against Baylor. We had some unlucky things happen. Like we get a good trap and they call a timeout. That's not unlucky. It's a smart play by Baylor. Just little things as we were trying to make our comeback just didn't go our way, and that happens. When you're on the road, when you're at home, whatever. We had some, I think there's a lot of people that questioned. There was a sequence of events in the second half, right after we took a 1-point lead, where there was like back to back charges. There was a block called on Grady Dick, and then a charge called on Jalen Wilson, and then ultimately a technical on Bill Self because of those two plays. And you're like, man, how did it look on TV?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's hard, you know. Calls, you're going to get calls go against you when you're on the road. I mean, that's part of, you know, that's part of the reason it's hard to win on
the technical
road.
Was interesting because I'm 5 feet away from Bill talking to Doug Sermons, and it was a very controlled, he wasn't raising his voice or anything, and he just having a conversation with him. Then all of a sudden he turned, teed him up.
Seemed like that had been building for a while. I was listening to you guys on the radio, and that was building for a while.
So then what do you say to give the tee if you're like right there and it's calm? Like, what's the magic word? What do you got to?
Well, you can do the math. I mean, it's something that we probably shouldn't say right now.
He was like right behind us.
I didn't hear what was said, but I found out after the game before my.
I look forward to hearing that in the commercial break.
Before my Martin Pringle Bill Self postgame interview, I heard it, but that was not a part of the Martin Pringle postgame Bill Self interview.
Should have been.
It'd be highly listened to. Real quick before we break, I've gotten this question from a handful of KU fans. Why isn't MJ Rice getting more minutes?
Some of it's health. You know, the other night, Bill said in the TCU game, we tried to put him in the second half. He said back, so his back's a day-to-day thing, and then it's a trust factor. When he does get in there, he had a nice rebound the other night, put back, but then in a play, he helped George or somebody off the ball. It was clearly a foul, and Bill was upset, and it's hard to get back in the game. It's a trust thing, and so who do you put him in for? Probably Kevin, because he provided an offensive punch, but as bad as Kevin has been offensively, he's that much better on the defensive end, so it's just hard to find a spot. It's called welcome to being a freshman, and should he give him more time? Yeah, probably. Can he? It's a question of how do you want to possibly lose games because you're playing freshmen to gain them experience?
I'll never try to suggest that Bill Self should play somebody more than he does. if you don't trust Bill Self by now,
that's what I say to our fan base.
Proven. He'll play freshmen if they're ready to play. Grady Dick's not having a tough time getting on the court.
Right. And Grady Dick, there's definitely some inefficiencies about him, whether it be on the defense. I think he's gotten a lot better, but you got to have Grady Dick on the floor because he can do a lot of things. MJ can too, but he's got to be able to play better defense. It was the second Big 12 game of the year. We're in Lubbock, back-to-back possessions. You know, that was when Joe Yesfu was hurt, so everybody got moved up the line. Back-to-back possessions, his guy took him to the rim and scored. And that sits in Bill's crawl for a while, and it's hard to get back in the game, especially when the games are close.
So how do you expect him to deal with Shibue? A couple of games ago against Georgia, 37 points and 24 rebounds. When they were losing, he had that press conference, and he said that he asked coaches to put some walk-ons on the court with him because he was looking for teammates that will fight with him. And people were wondering, well, how's that going to go over?
Yeah.
Then they go beat Tennessee. Now they won four in a row. So, obviously, when I ask who the best players KU's face, maybe they're going to face that guy on Saturday. So,
yeah,
how do you deal with him?
Well, it's going to be a massive challenge because he's one of the most gifted guys in the country, and he can get you 35 and 20. And when you look at this Kansas team, he's going up against KJ, and the other four guys aren't necessarily big, so he can out rebound five guys. So KJ's got to use his strength. He's got to be able to use defensive positioning to be in the right place, get a body on him. And then the other thing you try to do is maybe get him in a little foul trouble, because that might be the best defense against Oscar Tshiebwe, is ball fake, get him in the air, get a couple fouls early, because he can dominate a game from 2 feet away. He's got that good of hands. He's got that good of hand-eye coordination. He's not a naturally gifted offensive player, but off the rim, he's the best in the country.
Any final words from Nate Buchanan before we let Greg Gurley go?
It's great to see you, man. You know,
how about that?
Have you checked out the Greg Gurley and Wayne Simmien Jayhawker podcast?
I've heard about it. I've heard about it.
So it's a no. I would appreciate a little professional courtesy and maybe check it out.
Well, I saw a clip of Bill Self busting you a little bit, giving you a hard time. So I enjoy that part of it.
Well,
you know.
Okay. Well,
what do you got coming up on it? Why don't you give it a plug here?
Well, we recorded last week an episode with Jay Wright and Bill Raftery.
Nice.
And Rob Thompson, manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, former Kansas Jayhawk baseball player, catcher, batted over 400.
Wow.
Kind of random story, too. He's from Canada.
Yeah.
And ended up coming to Lawrence, Kansas, and loves it. And so really neat deal with him. So we're gonna release those episodes this week. So there you go.
That's Greg Gurley. We'll be back after this on WHB.
It's time to find out who's got this. Presented by Mike DePasquale and the law offices of DePasquale Moore.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right. Let's talk to Mike DePasquale. Mike's got this. Mike's got picks. What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good, but here's something that irritates me. I feel like you'd be... I mean, you love Buffalo, you love Kansas City, but here's the deal. I'm looking at the AP Coach of the Year finalists. Nick Sirianni, all right.
Yeah,
Kyle Shanahan, okay.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll, all right. Doug Peterson, okay. And then Sean McDermott. What did Sean McDermott do to be on that list instead of Andy Reid?
Nothing. I think the first four are the guys that deserve it. But I agree with you. Sean McDermott doesn't deserve that award. No more than Andy Reid would deserve the award.
They voted for it before the postseason, right?
So what? I mean, he went out. I mean,
I agree. He did what he was supposed to do.
The Chiefs exceeded expectations without Tyreek Hill and won 14 games. The Bills are kind of who we thought they were, and they're the ones that went out and acquired Von Miller and made the big move. And so why does Andy Reid get credit? Oh, they took away Tyreek Hill. They're supposed to take a step back and everything else. 14 wins, number one seed.
I'm with you. Hey, listen, I think the first four guys deserve it. I'd give it to Shanahan personally. I mean, you're a third-string rookie quarterback.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, come on. I don't care.
Yep.
Brock Purdy's fine and all, but they're there because the way they've managed the games with him.
They lost the game with Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback?
No. They're on, what, 12 in a row or 13 in a row? Oh, man. Can I tell you guys what annoys me?
What's it?
That my kids don't have school today. I mean, I'm looking over my son and sitting on the couch. I'm going to ask him a question real quick. Hey, Anthony, are you glad you don't have school today? Oh, he just nodded affirmatively. But there's no snow in my driveway or my streets. So I'm trying to figure out why we canceled school.
Well, my daughters are trying to figure out why they're going to school, and they're super pissed off. So
they're tough Missourians.
There we go.
We're soft Kansans, apparently. There's literally a light dusting on my driveway. Very light.
I don't know what's going on. The AP has announced a finalist for the MVP. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes. Five finalists for the MVP. That's Patrick Mahomes, thank you. All right,
he's got that.
He better. We've got five games to pick. And so let's get to it. We've got the SEC. All I hear about from Nate is, boy, I can't wait to the SEC Big 12 Challenge. When is it? Give me the list. I love it. And so finally, Nate, it's this weekend. It's almost in Nate's life overshadowing the AFC Championship game. So he's absolutely thrilled with these turn of events. A big weekend for Nate. So let's start off with the SEC Big 12 Challenge at 1 o'clock in Columbia. It's Iowa State at Missouri. And I'm going to set this, and I'm setting the points. How you like that? Because there are no point spreads yet. Unless Marco wants to get his ass in here and tell me if he's got any point spreads. Okay? Missouri, Iowa State. Iowa State favored by 4. I totally made that up, so.
Sounds about right.
I like it. Steven setting the lines here. I like that. That's good. That's
because
good.
Marco refuses. Yeah. Who are you talking to during the segment during the show? If you get me, are there any point spreads available for Saturday?
For Saturday, no.
Okay.
No points.
Then they're
Saturday.
My point spreads.
Yeah, I like it.
I just put them out there. Right, I'm trying to get action from you guys.
You're favoring Iowa State by 4 at Mizzou.
What 4.5.
Well, 4.5.
Line just went up.
Oh, wow. Man.
Okay. Lock me in before I move it again. Nate Ducati first.
I'm going first. All right.
Iowa State on the road.
Well, I'm just going straight Big 12 ticket here when I get to vote. So Iowa State, baby. Big 12, best conference in college. It's the SEC of college basketball.
Wow. Mike, also my dad just texted, I love Mike. Mike's got this. And so my dad's listening, and he's very excited to hear you. So
he's referred some business Mike's way, hasn't he?
That's right. He'll give you the business.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like? You want Missouri and 4.5, or do you want Iowa State?
I'll take Missouri at home. I got the Tigers.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll move on to the next game where Marco, we're going to test Marco's prowess here with setting the lines. Kansas State is hosting Florida. Kansas State is hosting 11-8 Florida. How many will you favor Kansas State by, Marco?
I'll favor Kansas State by 9.5 in this one.
Nine and a half? Florida's not any good.
Wow.
Florida's not any good.
Okay.
What are you? Right. They're 11-8.
All right.
They're the number 5 team in the nation.
All right.
Not an offensive team either, if I remember.
All right, we'll go with Mike for Marco. What do you think of Marco's line? By the way, moving forward, I think this is how we're going to do this. I like us setting the lines better than Vegas because they're very inaccurate and they're all over the board.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you like? Kansas State favored by 9.5 at home against Florida. Mike?
Well, because it doesn't look like Florida can score above about 55 points. And they hold their opponents to similar numbers. It looks like they slow it down. I guess I'll take Florida because that ridiculous 9.5.
Yeah.
Florida is Ken Pom's number 41 team.
Oh, will you stop bringing up Ken Pom?
No. His ratings are relatively accurate.
I'm going to start bringing up Harry Palm, all right?
All right, well.
What is it?
I told you, I'm going straight Big 12 ticket. I don't care what. Marco, you set the line wherever you want. As ridiculous as 9.5 is, I'll take K-State to win by 10.
K-State to win by 20.
No, okay. Now,
9.5.
I was
going to
set
God.
This one, but because of Marco, I'm going to go back with Marco.
Kansas by 37.
Marco, Kansas at Kentucky in prime time. Set the line, please.
Kansas minus 5.5, 4.5.
At Kentucky.
Should Kansas even be?
No. Kentucky's won 4 in a row. Kansas lost 3 in a row. Jayhawks winning by 5.5.
Kentucky plus 1.5. There you go.
Oh,
Kentucky
wow.
Look how dramatically that line just shifted from 5.5 to 1.5 the other way.
I don't trust Kentucky.
Kentucky plus 1.5?
You know, don't let
so
him.
So that means Kansas is favored by 1.5?
Don't let him bully you.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure
you
I understand the line.
You set the line that you want. If you want, you like the original.
I think it's I'm confident in the Jayhawks.
We're not trying to be accurate. We're trying to get some action. So, what's the line? What's your line? Don't listen. Don't let Nate talk you down.
He's trying to set the line so obnoxiously that I'll pick against Kansas. I know what he's doing.
Marco, go say it.
Kansas minus 5.5.
Okay.
Oh
Kansas
my God,
minus
the most
5.5.
Ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay,
pick.
I'm taking Kansas. I mean, go ahead, Marco.
You dummy.
You know? Well, yeah. But I already said what I was going to do.
Mike, this is a golden opportunity here.
So stupid.
If it is, then why don't you take Kentucky?
Because I know what Marco's trying to do, and I'm not going to let him win like that. He's going to try to set the line so crazy, and then you can both go, oh, wow, Nick doesn't have any faith
Mike,
in the Jayhawks.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
you at all. Mike, take advantage of Nate's stubbornness here.
And I'll take Kentucky.
Get them 5.5 points with Kentucky at home.
Oh.
I love this.
I find it hard to believe that Marco loses his ass off when he gambles.
I don't care. I don't care. Moving forward.
I can't wait to see what the line
Mike,
really is for this.
Moving forward, Marco's setting lines on all the games, whether we got them or not. I've seen the line. Okay.
He's installed the Chiefs as a 9-point favorite.
Now we go to the championship games, championship weekend. Mike's going to go first. The NFC championship game at 2 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. San Francisco at Philadelphia. The Eagles are favored by 2.5.
All right, so I want the Niners to win for a multitude of reasons. But the Eagles are going to beat them. The luck of Mr. Irrelevant's given. Not the luck, but Mr. Irrelevant's run. He's had a great run. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Is going to run out this week.
It's over.
Yeah, it's
the run
is
over.
It's more than 2.5. I mean, it's going to be about a 7 to 9 point game.
I mean, like for football geeks, I can't wait to watch the Eagles, just the Eagles offense and the Niners defense.
Yeah,
I'm pumped. I totally agree. I just can't bet on Mr. Irrelevant.
Eagles look so good against the Giants, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Yeah, I'm with you. But what say you, Nate Buchanan?
The 49ers haven't lost with Brock Purdy, but I don't think they've played anybody nearly as good as Philadelphia.
No.
And the Cowboys, they ain't playing Dak Prescott and the Cowboys this time. So I'm with Mike, Philadelphia.
All right, on to the main event. It's the Bengals at the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. You can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ding,
right now,
ding.
It's been moving around. We're going to lock it in right now. Cincinnati is favored by 1.5. Nate Buchanan, Cincinnati favored by 1.5.
Marco's got the Chiefs by 7, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's which line are we going
points.
With? I'm taking the Chiefs, man. I think this whole thing is a big prelude to the latest chapter in the heroic Patrick Mahomes novella, or whatever you want to call it. This is
telenovela.
Yeah, this is Patrick Mahomes. This is going to be the Patrick Mahomes sprained ankle game, you know. So yeah, I think that this time the Chiefs get the Bengals. Mahomes is going to wow us all with his ridiculous healing abilities and courage and all that. And so yeah, Chiefs win. Straight up, they win the game and they beat the point spread.
Mike,
I agree with Nate for two different reasons, though. Number one, I know they're all independent events, but like 4 times in a row, I don't see it. Number two, there's no way the Chiefs' offense, even with Mahomes, he's going to not be the same. Is going to be caught off guard like the Bills did last week by what the Bengals did on defense last week. What they did was an amazing game plan, the way they were disguising their blitzes, and the Bills had no answer for that. I have a lot more confidence in the Chiefs coaching staff, especially offensively, than I do the Bills. So the Bengals are not going to catch the Chiefs off guard. A 75% Mahomes, he's still a heck of a quarterback. Yeah, I got the Chiefs, and I agree with Nate. I don't think it's going to be. We're not going to need the points.
All right, Mike, before I let you go, tell people who might be in need of your help, how do they get a hold of you?
MikeScottThis.com. I'll be snow daying it today, boys. And actually, I might get into the office. I can't be hanging around the house today. Like my kids.
And Mike DePasquale comes Steve St. John Sr. approved.
Yes.
So that is wonderful.
Well,
endorsement.
I
can't get a better
that.
Testimonial than that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
All right. All right, Mike, good luck, and we will only hope that Marco's wild lines of college basketball are somewhat accurate to the action we'll
Nate's
see.
Nate's going to be coming we'll on in Monday morning wanting to give me the biggest hug. I already see it now.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next
week. All right, gentlemen, have a great weekend. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
I think now we have a new segment. All we're going to do is have Marco set lines of future games. Just to get his thoughts on where the number should be. I like it, you know? Just don't let him make you change. You go with what your gut says.
Right. We think
your heart.
What did you set Missouri Iowa State at?
4.5.
Yeah, it seems about right.
I don't know.
Yeah. How do you feel about that now, Steven? He said that seems about right.
I don't know.
Kansas by 5.5.
Dude, I'm telling
Kentucky.
You, they're gonna put it on the Wildcats. All right, hey, how about this? Kentucky minus 2.5 last year in Allen Fieldhouse. Or would that have seemed crazy? Yeah, but it happened. It happened.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Kentucky was a favorite going into that game.
The one last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
I don't know what the line was on that one last year.
Back into this on WHB.
Bust it.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, Gary Lezak, Greg Gurley. We just talked to Mike DiPasquale with Mike's Got Picks. Mike's Got This. We got our man Kyle from Boulevard coming in. Nick Leckie is in Todd Lebo's office. He's going to be in here with us. So we're going to have a fun 9 o'clock hour. We've played some post-game sound from Dennis Gates after Mizzou beat Ole Miss on the road. And Isaiah Mosley and Mo Diarra look terrific. Two players now looking like they're going to be impact players for Mizzou in the second half of the season. And we also heard from Jerome Tang post-game after K-State lost to Iowa State. We also played some J.J. Piccolo because the Royals made another trade and dealt Adalberto Mondesi to the Boston Red Sox. And then the Red Sox GM informed the Red Sox media last night that Mondesi may not be ready for opening day because he's still rehabbing his injury. And I'm thinking, like, which one? What is it? Shouldn't he be ready? I mean, I don't know. Like, is there?
I can't even remember what injury he had. He tore his ACL last year, right? Wasn't that it?
But shouldn't he? No.
That was like the beginning of the year,
right,
too.
Right. So,
hey, man, he's.
I don't know. Also,
not our problem anymore. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say.
Ken Rosenthal last night. The Royals may not be done. I don't think they're done. There's a lot of smoke around Scott Barlow perhaps being available. But I'm going to tell you this. If you trade Scotty Barlow, who's an effective reliever, who's a good reliever, who can help a team, you tell the team you want Scott Barlow, you want to improve your bullpen. Here, also, you must have this companion piece known as Hunter Dozier. And if you don't take Dozier, you don't get Barlow. That's what I say. Also, there's a report from Ken Rosenthal. White Sox have expressed interest in trading for Royals infielder Nicky Lopez, sources tell The Athletic. Royals not eager to move Lopez, viewing him as important depth. Team's plan is to go with Witt Jr. at shortstop, Massey at second, and Lopez utility, but Lopez could open at second base if Massey is not ready, which would lead Stephen St. John to have a profanity-filled tirade on the air. Because he ready. Are you? Back after this on WHB.